importance enough to be saved from the oblivion that waits upon very scarce books. Those, again, who pay any attention to the course of popular taste in reading, no unimportant factor in the literary history of a nation, will find the monk worth examining at first hand. There is food for thought in the case of a man of mere average ability, who, on the strength of one crude production written in his teens, was able to find publishers and a market for a miscellaneous series of works that would daunt the hardihood of the most indefatigable researcher to read now, and who not only won with ease the success of such a writer as the late Guy Boothby, but was widely regarded as among the leading men of letters of his day. Perhaps, after all, it is reason enough for a reprint that the book is one everybody knows by name, yet few indeed have read. A Life of Matthew Gregory Lewis, 1775 to 1818, is extant in two volumes octavo, but to the fatuous indulgence of the anonymous biographer most readers will prefer the brief notice in the Dictionary of National Biography, which easily takes in all that has any interest in a very ordinary career. Born rich, he never had to face adversity in any shape, unless we accept the differences between his father and mother, in which he took his mother's part and had his pocket money reduced in consequence. He never had to write a line for profit, though his gains from this source must have been considerable. He enjoyed his life, his letters leave no doubt on that point, but it was not a life worthy of commemoration in two volumes octavo. Prefixed to the two volumes there is a portrait which might have served all the purposes of a memoir. It is the face of a good-natured, insignificant young man who never made an enemy, a man who shone in private life, was kind to his slaves, and never had a brilliant idea in his life. His only qualification for writing books was an insatiable ambition, the cacoethes scribendi, in its most vulgar form, combined with an indomitable industry that, by the grace of Providence, is not often allied to it. But there was no conceit, no egotism of any kind in Monk Lewis. He looked upon his gift for enthralling his readers by making their flesh creep as an unaccountable endowment of nature, and his letters show how conscious he was of his lack of any personal impressiveness to support the dignity of his reputation. This amiable modesty of his must have been the trait that pleased Shelley and Byron, who were, no doubt, very much amused at the spectacle of this little man, overwhelmed by the greatness thrust upon him by his friends. Lewis wrote The Monk in 1795, just before he was 20. He devoted 10 weeks to the performance, rather than more, according to the best accounts, had been given by another wealthy scribbler to the composition of Vathek, some 10 years before, a tale of the same kin as The Monk, but far more original, and unquestionably a work of imagination. Lewis's book had a successful sale, and made a great sensation, two things that are not always mutually dependent. Worse books of the same character as The Monk would, at the present date, command a lucrative sale, but would create no sensation. We are too well acquainted with the species. But although Lewis avowedly made no attempt to be original, borrowing his effects from sources candidly pointed out in his preface, and although he made no secret that he was incited to write The Monk by his perusal of The Mysteries of Udolpho, which he considered one of the most interesting books that has ever been published, in spite of all this, his book was a new thing, at least to the reading public of his own time and country. It was new in that instead of the mild titillation of the nerves produced by Mrs. Radcliffe's timid trifling with the world of phantoms and nameless terrors, it threw away all restraint. There is nothing supernatural in Mrs. Radcliffe's novels. Her ghosts are all make-believe, and the reader's alarm is carefully soothed before it exceeds the point of pleasant excitation. There is no mistake, on the contrary, about Lewis's ghosts. They are the most blood-curdling creations,